He said, well, don't you believe in karma? Yeah, I believe in karma. I just got a free soda. Okay, let's get into this. Tell me who was wrong on this. I was coming in off the road the other day, and I stopped and I got a soda at McDonald's. $1.08, okay? Pull up to the window, and the girl said, did you have the soda? Yes, I did. And she said, well, the guy in front of you paid for you. Now, I know how this is supposed to work. I'm supposed to pay for the people behind me. They pay for the people behind them, and somehow that makes us a better world somehow. Except I look in the rearview mirror, and I've got an SUV behind me with about 8 kids. And I'm not paying $85 for a soda. But she's in the window, and she can literally look down on me. She goes, well, the guy in front of you paid for you. I'm like, well, if I see him, I'll say thanks and left. And so I'm telling my wife about this. She said, well, you're supposed to pay for the people behind you. I know that. I'm not going to do that. She said, we can afford it. That's not the point. She said, well, don't you believe in karma? Yeah, I believe in karma. I just got a free soda. That's karma telling me I'm not that bad of a guy. That's what that is. I had to fly out one time. And I come from a very rural part of the country, which we'll get to here in a second. And the closest airport's about 3 hours away. So I didn't want to leave my truck at the airport for like 4 weeks when I was going to be gone. So what I did, I went to a local army base, and they flew me out to the larger airport. It was one of those really small Cessnas, like those 8-seat planes. And I'd never flown on one of those before. And I'm looking out the window with this plane, and we're in a line. I hear the woman in front of me say, 140. I don't know what that means, but now it's my turn. I walk up there, and she said, are you flying to St. Louis? Yes, I am. She said, well, how much do you weigh? Why do you need to know how much I weigh? She said, because we base boarding the plane according to the passenger's weight, so that way the wings stay balanced. She said, but the first thing I need to do is to get your bags. No, the first thing you need to do is to get her back over here, because there's no way she weighs 140. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody here, but I'm not going to wind up a story on the news because this woman doesn't want to admit she slides through Burger King every once in a while. That's not my problem. So now I have to stand over to the side and like calculate all the lies that everybody else is telling. 140, no, you're not 140. The guy walked up, he's like, oh, I probably weighed 175. Yeah, in high school you weighed 175. So finally, it's my turn. It's like, Mr. Thornsberry, how much do you weigh? Apparently, 844 pounds. What I'm doing with it. I don't come from a big city like this. I grew up in a trailer park, as by now you've guessed. I had somebody ask me the other day if this is my real voice. Like, if I had the talent to do voices, this is the one I'm picking. He's like, man, don't worry about it. Women love guys with accents. No, they don't. They like guys with good accents. And I see the difference because I'm working with a buddy of mine. He's a comic. He's from Australia. And he's got that big, thick Aussie, that English sound. Yeah, a lot of women find that really sexy. And I have this. And they hear my buddy talk like, wow, did you hear that accent? I bet that means he is great with women. And they hear me talk like, wow, did you hear that accent? I bet that means he can fix my tractor. Which I can, but that's not the point. That's completely not what I'm talking about. Grew up, still live in a small town in Missouri. It's called Crocker. It's population about 900, give or take. And people are always asking, like, man, how can you live in a town that small? Well, I have advantages you guys don't have. I'll never be the victim of an internet scam. I'm getting set up for my fantasy baseball this year, and an ad pops up for a one-time credit card payment of $99.95. We can send you the links and addresses of 8,000 hot and available women in your town tonight. No, you can't. Incorrect. I understand why people make fun of where I come from. I get it. I know a guy that wants to date his cousin. I know that guy. And he's asked my advice. He goes, man, what do you think? No. Would be my assessment of that. No. And he's all upset, like, well, you know, are you serious, man? Are you serious? He goes, no, it's not what you're thinking. We just have a lot in common. Yeah, like uncles. Now, a lot of comics, they get up here and they bash marriage and they rip their wives. It's a very popular thing to do. It can be very funny. I get that. I really don't do that. I am married myself. I love my wife. She's absolutely incredible. And with all the stuff going on, it's very comforting for me in the world. You know, all these people getting divorced. It's very comforting for me. I know that we will never get divorced, ever. You want to know how I know that? We don't own anything worth fighting over. What are we going to divorce over? Our thrift store couch? Be the worst divorce ever. You're going to load that thing up and haul it off when you leave here. No, I loaded that piece of junk up once and brought it here. I'm not loading it back up again. Still got a cut on my leg from the spring that shoots through the bottom of it. I'm not touching it. The only time that I was ever worried that something like that might possibly happen to us is anytime she wants to play board games. Now, my wife is very competitive. So am I. That doesn't work out. Let me explain something to you fellas. You beat your wife three times in a row playing Connect Four. You're going to be connecting with the couch later on. Just the way life works out. But she had some people over one night. She said, hey, you know what we should do? Let's play a game. Yeah, that's a good idea. We haven't hated each other yet today. Let's do that. And she goes to the closet and she brings out the game Pictionary. I'm not going to belabor you guys with all the rules to Pictionary, but the last square on the board is called All Play. Whenever anybody's on that square, everybody draws the same word at the same time. Whichever team screams it out first wins. My turn to draw for the win. Look at the word gorilla. I can't draw a gorilla. But what I can do is this. I can draw a tree where she will guess tree. I will draw a banana in the tree. She will guess banana. And then I'm going to draw something in the tree hanging on to the banana. Looks like it's got a head and a tail and a foot. And she's going to go, monkey. And I'm going to give her this sign. And she's going to click down to gorilla. That's the way it's playing in my head. For the win, gorilla, tree, banana, chimpanzee, chimpanzee, and I know what's getting ready to happen. I'm starting to sweat. I can feel my pulse pick up a little bit, you know. It's not a chimpanzee? No. It isn't. Chimp, that's the same thing. Can't just shorten the word. And then you just lose your mind, start arguing with everybody at the table. Chad, you're not supposed to talk during Pictionary. Does it look like we're helping each other out over here? It took you 45 seconds to get light bulb. How about you worry about your own game? We end up losing. Of course. My fault. Of course. She asked me, goes, what was it? It was a gorilla. Chad, doesn't look like a gorilla. You're right, it doesn't. It doesn't look like a chimpanzee, and you guess that 14 times. We got in an argument last winter over a puzzle. Do you know the amount of love and passion you have to have for another human being to be able to argue over a puzzle? I was coming in off the road, bad winter storm, getting ready to hit where we live. Get in, garage door comes down, everybody's in, everybody's safe. Okay, now this is going to be our time together. She turns on the Christmas lights, snow, big flakes, just starting to drift, you know, very Norman Rockwell-ish looking kind of thing. We turn off the phones, turn off the TVs. There's no one else in the world at that moment except for her and me. And I dump out this puzzle. Now, I know the first thing about putting together a puzzle is that you have to flip over the pieces where they're right side up. And I know that because I'm somebody that was raised by people. And I start flipping over all these pieces, and I hear my wife say, "Hey, I got one." "What?" "I got one." "Well, we need to flip over all the pieces first." I just thought I'd go ahead and start. "You need to start by helping me flip over all the pieces." "So we can do this together." Which is why we spent $8 at Dollar General in the first place. "Well, I just need a little bit more yellow." "Yeah, it probably looks brown because once again, all the pieces aren't flipped over yet." "Fine, flip, flip." Now she's mad flipping. "Flip, flip, 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 flip." We get them all flipped. I was like, "Okay, let's find all the edge pieces. I don't want to start on the edge. I want to start in the middle." "What are you, a serial killer? Who starts in the middle of a puzzle?" I will get home tomorrow night, and she will have dinner fixed for me because she's wonderful like that. She is a better woman than I deserve. If something gets messed up with my flight and I get in late, she will have it wrapped up on the stove waiting for me because she's perfect. And she will even ask me what I want, and I get to pick. And sometimes I get that answer wrong. I love saying that and watching all the young guys go, "What does that mean?" All the old married guys go, like, "I know what he's talking about. I got that. Yeah." She's not a good sleeper. I don't mean she has insomnia. This is how we sleep at night. We like to have the TV on. That's a very common thing. Now, and when it's winter and it's really cold, we like to crack the windows in our bedroom, brings in a little bit of the cold air, so you wrap up in the comforters, really helps you sleep well, right? Now, we live, like I said, in a very rural area, and our neighbor behind us run cattle that will moo at night. Now, our dogs hear this and will bark at the cattle. So to drown all this out, we turn on the fan in the bedroom. And when I say the fan, I don't mean the cute little plastic oscillating fan with the remote that you can buy. No, I mean like the big heavy metal box fans from the 40s that they had to stop producing because they had metal blades and people were falling into them, getting shoulders lopped off, you know? And that's how we sleep. So one night we have the TV on, cows mooing, dogs barking, propeller fans rattling. She rolls over, wakes me up and goes, "Chad, Chad, what? I think I heard something." "I hope so." "We got bigger problems to talk about." I don't hear very well out of my left ear, and she knows that, and she's very conscious about it, and she does a really good job of looking me directly in the face, and she will speak very slowly, enunciate everything very clearly, as long as she's giving me the most worthless piece of information she has at that time. And then if it's anything important that I need to know, it's a coin flip whether I ever get it or not, you know. She got home the other day. She goes, "Oh, you know what I saw coming up the driveway? What? A rabbit." "Okay." She's like, "Oh, and don't forget about your doctor's appointment tomorrow." "What doctor's appointment? Well, I told you I had a doctor. When did you tell me I had a doctor's appointment?" "Well, you were in the shower with the bathroom door closed. I was in the basement behind the furnace. You didn't hear me?" Hold on, these are better if I can do them with a straight face. Give me a second. Before this, I was a teacher. I taught high school English in the state of Missouri for a couple of years. Any teachers in here tonight by chance? Are you really? I really can't see you. Just yell it out. What do you teach?
Art.
Art. Okay, that's kind of different. You tell your students in art there's no such thing as a stupid question? That's such a lie, isn't it? Because let me tell you something. When you teach, not only are there stupid questions, those are generally the only kind you get. It's the middle of October. My kids were studying Legend, Sleepy Hollow, Headless Horseman, that whole thing. I've got a kid in the back of the room raising his hand and said, Mr. Thornsberry, wouldn't that be really weird if Halloween and Friday the 13th happened on the same day? That'd be spooky. I had a kid tell me he was going to drop out of school. I said, what are you planning to do without a high school education? He said, don't worry about it. I'm going to get my EGD. Maybe. I knew teaching wasn't my chosen profession. I called in the office on the second day, I had a parent mad at me. I walk in there and this dad jumps up. He said, I heard you called my daughter stupid. I'm like, I would never call your daughter stupid. I asked her if she was stupid. I know there seems like there should be a second part to that joke, but that's where that one ends. That's where we go on now. You know, that's... The thing I was most proud of when I taught was I always developed a good rapport with my students, and they always knew they could come to me if they ever had problems with anything. That's one of the most important things, and I still believe that. I had a girl walk into my room before school one day, and she had been crying, and I asked her what was wrong. She said, my boyfriend and my dad just got into a fight, and then my boyfriend was bringing me to school. He was taking it out on me, and he was calling me fat, and he was calling me lazy, and he was calling me dumb. I said, you'd want to be with that loser anyway. He doesn't respect the person you are today, which means he will never respect the person you're going to become in the future. And she said, you're so nice. I wish you were him. Like, I really don't make a good boyfriend. She said, I met my dad. You're really old. Like, whatever, fatty. I didn't say that. That's a joke. But out of all the things that I will say in any of my shows, that's the joke that people have an issue with. It's completely made up. It did not happen that way, but that's the one. I had a woman come up to me after a show one night. She's about 5'2", weighs about 340. I have no problem with that in the world. I don't care. She said, I didn't appreciate your little fat girl joke. She said, you can't judge people like that. You wouldn't know it by looking at me, but I'm a dietitian. You're right, you slipped that one right past me. You know, I don't know. My wife ordered inspirational checks the other day. Which I think you should have a certain amount of money in the bank before you get the checks. It's really tough for me to seize the day when I've got $48 looking at me, you know? Whatever life throws at you, you have the ability to bounce back. I don't want the word bounce written on any check I'm trying to give somebody. I was sitting at home the other day, and she's like, I said, my computer stopped working. She goes, oh, call Leanne's husband. He can fix anything with computers. Okay. So my truck's making this rattling sound. Call Sherry's husband. He's a mechanic. I'm like, does that ever bother you that you're not going to be that story in somebody else's house? Like, what are you talking about? There's never a couple sitting around going, honey, what's wrong? I just wish I could write some jokes about Pictionary and puzzles. Oh, call Dana's husband. That's what he does. I don't know how I turned out this way. I really don't. I blame it on my brother, actually. I have a brother that's 5 years older than I am. He got all the toys when they were new. And if you're a younger brother or sister, see people already now, you don't get another new toy. You get the broken things being shoved in the back of the closet for years, you know. He had a brand new CNC right out of the box. You get the animal, point the marker at the animal, pull the string, and makes the sound of the animal. By the time I got mine, the marker to the animal and the sound didn't even match anymore. You want to make sure a kid repeats kindergarten, you hand him a broken CNC. That's almost a guarantee. Listen to the cat. What? I read an amazing story about a guy that was killed by his cat. He is fixing dinner. His cat's walking along the counter, knocks over a loaded gun. It hits the floor, goes off, hits him in the head, kills him. That's tragic. I understand that. But if you're a guy and you have a loaded gun and there's still a cat walking around, kind of your fault. Not everybody appreciates that one. I gotta be real honest with you. If anybody in here was sincerely upset about the cat killing joke, I would like to apologize for it, but there's a second part to it, so buckle up. Here we go. My friend had a cat, and I couldn't stand it. I'm not a cat guy. I don't like him. So every time I'd go over to her place and sit down, it'd try to get around my foot. So when she wasn't looking, I'd try to kick it. But they're really quick. So by the time my foot was extended, it was already on the TV just looking at me going. So I went by one day and she was all upset. I'm like, you know what's going on? She said, my cat was killed. I'm like, really, what happened? She said, it got crushed in the garage door. I'm like, oh, I'm really, how slow do I kick? My first CNC had a wolf and a coyote on it, both. They expect a preschooler to be able to differentiate between a wolf and a coyote. I can't do that now. The only difference as I know it is a wolf will hunt smaller animals primarily at night, as opposed to a coyote and get a paintbrush and paint the side of a cliff to look like a train tunnel in about 2 seconds. Anybody here under 25 is like, what does that mean? No. What is that? I don't know if you guys could tell when I walk up here, but I'm a little bit hobbled. And I tell this story, it's not, oh, listen to what he's been through, listen to what he's overcome. But I tell the story because before this incident happened that I'm getting ready to tell you about, I had not spent a night in the hospital literally since the day I was born. I've been extremely, extremely lucky. But when you've been out of the hospital systems that long and then you're forced back into it, you're not aware of how the hospitals work. And I got to tell you, I'm not that big of a fan. I pull up the morning of my surgery and the guy goes, okay, you need to go on the second deck, go in the parking garage, hit the blue button on the machine. For what? Your ticket. What ticket? Your parking ticket. I have to pay to park at the hospital? Yes. Is Billy Joel playing inside or something? He goes, no, but when you leave, if you get this validated, it'll save you $1.50. Oh, perfect, because I'm sure when I leave here in 3 days, that's what I'm going to be concerned about is where's my buck and a half, you know? Surgeon walks in, smartest man I've ever met in my life. He knows more about what he's getting ready to do to me than anything I'll ever know, ever. You want to know what he can't do? He can't use the pronoun we correctly. Because he tells me, Chad, you and I are on a team. We are going to work together. The first thing we are going to do, I'm like, Doc, we aren't doing a thing. You went to Harvard Medical School. I go to Provo, Utah to tell CNC jokes for money. That's you. And I'm cool with that. how about you just give me something that's going to knock me out and you do whatever you think you should do? He's like, and he's telling me what's going to happen and here's what we're doing. And he keeps searching in his pockets. And as he's talking, he pulls out a marker and he writes R-O-K on my leg. And I'm like, please tell me you're not trying to spell the word rock for some reason. And he goes, no, those are my initials. Why are you signing my leg? He goes, that way when we get you in the operating room, we know for sure which leg to operate on. We're not using any of these fancy machines in here, you know? Trailer park boy gets a Sharpie? Is that what's going on? What happens if you can't find that? What if you left it in your office? What, are we down to a coin flip after that? Talking to the nurse, did you see which leg it was? Yeah, I was looking at him, but it was in the mirror. It was kind of backwards. I don't know which way we go with it. I don't know. So he goes on and he walks off, and the nurse walks in. She said, Chad, you know, I just want to tell you that you misfiled your paperwork. You left a question blank. Who would you like for us to contact in case of an emergency? And I said, how about another doctor? It kind of worries me that I have to tell you that in all honesty. She goes, okay, you're fine. Blood draw came back. Everything looks good. Good luck. Whoa. What good luck? Is he not coming back? I'm not stuck with the dude from the parking garage, am I? It's like, no, that's just something we say. No, that's what the waitress told me last night at the Mexican restaurant, and I know how that night ended up. Good luck. But like I said, I'm very lucky. Everything came out very, very well until I'm laying at home a couple of weeks later and I get the first bill. Mr. Thornsberry, if your insurance does not provide for this, this is going to be the amount you're responsible for, $186,000. Well, yep, good luck. Oh, wait, give me that back. Hand that back. Hand me minus $1.50. I have a daughter from a previous marriage. My wife has two daughters from a previous marriage, so we had to get the new family picture taken, which is fine. I love my family, but it bugs me the kind of poses the photographers put you in. No one's ever leaned up against a tree like this. Ever. Never happened. They always do that finger laced on the fence post kind of. Let me tell you something. I grew up on a farm. I have fixed a lot of fence. If I'm ever working with my dad and he looks down the fence line at me and I'm looking back at him doing this. That's a hay-filled butt kicking coming up. I don't know what that is. I just had to ask the photographer, like, why do you put us in poses like that? I just like things to look natural. This is what he expects you to believe for our natural family picture. He just had me walking through the woods with a camera and a tripod, comes across an abandoned barn. In front of this barn are strategically placed railroad ties. On these ties, from shortest to tallest, is a family of five looking at him, smiling, wearing matching sweaters. You know how creepy that'd be in real life? You just walked up on that? Two days before I got married, one of my best friends sent me an article, and it was about a couple that got divorced. Now, what the judge did, he gave the wife 86% of the marital estate, gave the husband 14%, but let the husband pick any 14% he wanted. He took, like, you know, TVs and cars and things like that. Thought, what if that would ever be me? I would take my 14%, but only if it's going to directly affect her 86%. What, you want the dryer? Fine, I want the dryer door. I'm going to go to the refrigerator. I'm taking the straws off all the Capri Suns. All of them. Those are mine. Give them here. Open them up with a fork the way the pioneers did. I don't know what to tell you. You want the truck? Fine. I'll take the brakes. Yes, you know. tried to help my wife plan for our wedding, learned a lot of things about myself that I didn't know. I discovered that I was colorblind because she sent me to the store to bring back something that was cornflower, and I brought back something that was periwinkle. Because I'm a raging lunatic, apparently. And I can't believe how upset she is about this. You can't tell the difference between these two colors? Hey, I didn't know those were colors. Well, this one obviously has purple in it. No. You know what obviously has purple in it? Purple. That's what obviously has a little splash of purple to it. Won't let it go. Has to justify. Said, well, you should know what color cornflower is. That was a color we had in our crayon boxes when we were in school. Wasn't in my crayon box, Princess 64 crayons, flip top, fancy sharpener in the back. Hear all those people? You want me to tell you who they are? Those are the other broke kids like me that had the Crayola 8 beginner box. The jumbos, that kind. I almost flunked art in first grade because of those crayons. Teacher walked over and was like, Chad, you know, you really got out of the lines here when you're coloring the sun. I know my yellow crayon weighs 9 pounds and I'm 6. Kids would always ask them to borrow my crayons. I think it was just to mess with me, you know, because I only had 8. Chad, you have scarlet? No, I have red. Oh, do you have mahogany? No, that would be brown. Really, do you have tan? Yeah, it's brown. You just color really lightly. Okay, I've got one more chunk of stuff. I'm gonna get out of your way. Let you guys enjoy the rest of your evening. Sometimes I get put, when I get put on the road, I get put in situations where I don't feel comfortable. And I don't mean a bad situation. I grew up in a trailer park in Missouri, for heaven's sake. I can deal with bad situations. But sometimes I get put in a really, really great situation, and I don't know how to deal with it. Like a top-of-the-line five-star hotel. I'm not a top-of-the-line five-star hotel kind of guy. I'm a guy that wears a jacket on stage, only have to iron this part of my shirt kind of guy. Like it, you know what a top-of-the-line five-star hotel doesn't have? The complimentary breakfast. I need the complimentary breakfast. I don't care about the thread count on your pillowcases. I want some free waffles. I love a free hotel breakfast so much, sometimes I'll have one at a hotel I didn't stay. That is not a joke. So here's my story. I'm doing a corporate show for Pepsi in Chicago, a really, really good gig. And I pull up to the hotel. It's like part of the old architectural part of downtown Chicago. And I'm looking at this wondrous building. I'm like, oh, man, I am not going to fit in this place at all. As I'm staring at the door to my truck opens, as I'm turning out of the corner of my eye, I see somebody start to get in. So just out of reaction, I just turn and shove this guy. And he kind of stumbles backwards. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He said, sir, I'm your valet. I was like, oh. But in my defense, I don't drive the kind of vehicle that you typically valet. I drive the kind of vehicle before somebody else gets in it, you need to start explaining things about it. If anybody else ever had this, you know you have to give them that speech. Because you don't want anybody hurt. But you really don't want to admit what kind of death trap you're willing to drive on a daily basis? You're going to park this? Yes, sir. Okay. Just so you know, probably won't even happen. But occasionally, if you make a really sharp left-handed turn, and the defrost switch is slid all the way to the right, the back wheel pops off. Oh, no. I'm not a mechanic. I think it's a wiring issue, but I don't know that. And he goes, sir, everything will be just fine. Gets in, shuts the door, leaves, or tries to shut the door. But he's never been in a vehicle before where shutting the door is more than a one-step process. He's never been in that pull and lift door shut. That you have to lift the exact correct second or your door, boom, you're early, boom, you're late. Screaming at him like it's his fault, my door won't close. So we end up getting his door closed and he's rattling it down the street. I'm like, okay, which way is he gonna go? Makes that big sweeping left. I'm like, all right, dude, you're on your own. I don't know. I don't know how much clearer I could have been about that. Go in and I try to check in. I was like, yeah, I'm the comedian doing the show tonight. She said, okay, perfect. She said, your room's ready. She said, I just need a credit card. I said, well, Pepsi was supposed to take care of my room. She said, no, Pepsi paid for the room. I just need your card for incidentals. I was like, oh, okay. I'm not going to have any. She goes, no, that's just if you call down and get room service. You see a movie on TV. You want? No, I know what the word means. I'm just explaining, I'm not going to have any of this. And she kind of looks around, making sure nobody's near, leans across the counter. She goes, well, it's kind of just pretend. What are you talking about? How about I pretend to hand you a card? You can make believe to swipe it if it makes you feel better, I guess. And I'll for real go to sleep. She said, I can't lock your room without a card on file. Okay, here's my card. She runs. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, it was declined. My pretend charge just got rejected. I'm not a wealthy man. I thought I could afford free. She goes, well, our machines wouldn't accept the card. I said, do you take inspirational checks? I don't know. What else you doing? I said, well, we don't charge the card, but we put them out of a hold on it, and it wouldn't accept that amount. I said, how much was that amount? She said, $750. She's like, do you think our machines are malfunctioning? Nope. I think those are working perfectly. I spit my card out quick, didn't I? I was watching. Those are pretty good machines. I mean, they ended up letting me in my room, which I did not have to do. Very nice of them. They didn't have to do that. And all the years I've ever done this, I had never received a call on the hotel phone. It's kind of weird. After a few minutes, my phone started ringing up. I was like, hello? She said, yeah, this is Becky from downstairs. I was just wondering how your room looks. Have you never been up here? You can come up here and look around if you want. It's all right. I mean, it's not worth $750 and no waffles, but it's okay, I guess. She goes, I was just worried if you had any concerns. I'm a little concerned your valet's not going to make it back. Guys, I've got to go. You've been absolutely fantastic. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.